This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are the guys. It's Terry Tote, Uncle Ralph, and David Jenkins.
Tobinot, thank you very much, and good morning. Welcome to Sports Saturday, and it's time to say locked and loaded, fellas. As teams, five teams from area conferences picked up their sixth win last night in high school football, and that automatically qualifies them for the IHSA playoffs. From the South Central, Gillespie and Greenville, both locked up spots. Williamsville, to nobody's surprise, in the Sangamo Conference, and the WIVC South, Carrollton's Hawks, locked up a spot, and Camp Point Central goes to 6-0 out of the WIVC North as we are pretty much, well, halfway done with week number six of the high school football season. Yep. Still a few ball games around the area this afternoon and tonight. But it was an exciting week and some big – the games continue to amaze me, the matchups week after week this year, especially in the South Central Conference. I think it's just been terrific.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're going to go into next week, a game we'll have on our station, Litchfield and Pena.
Yeah.
Pena fighting to stay out of elimination for the playoffs, and Litchfield at 3-3 now, fighting to get into the playoffs. And then the week after, you've got Litchfield-Hillsborough playing each other, two teams fighting for the playoffs, in addition to Greenville-Gillespie, a couple of undefeated teams in the South Central Conference, so a lot of good matchups yet to come.
Yeah, that Gillespie-Greenville match is shaping up to be quite a battle, and here we are 6 weeks into the season. We still have two teams in the South Central that's undefeated, but that is going to change.
It is going to change somewhere along the way. Let's get to the scores very quickly from last night, as Gillespie and Greenville, as we mentioned, both moved to 6-0 on the year. The Miners defeated Carlinville 36-27 last night. Greenville beat Pena 56-21. Litchfield and Hillsborough keep their playoff hopes alive by going to the 500 mark. They're both 3-3 now. The Purple Panthers beat Roxana 27-8. Hilltoppers doubled up Vandalia 56-28. Now this afternoon, Staunton will be at Southwestern in South Central play. In Prairie State Conference play last night, the Wildcats are still in the hunt as Mount Olive beat Bunker Hill 57-27. So the Cats are now 4-2 overall, 2-2 in conference play. South Fork defeated Decatur Lutheran 40-16. South Fork now 3-3 on the season. In the Sangamo, nobody's going to touch Williamsville.
No.
No.
And none of us at this table are surprised.
Nope.
No. Not at all. Not at all.
They beat a pretty good Porta team last night. Porta came in 4-1, but it was Williamsville all the way. 35-6 the final last night. In other Sangamo Conference matchups last night, the North Mac Panthers keep their playoff hopes alive and well as the Panthers go to 3-3 on the season with a 32-13 win over Riverton. Auburn continues to roll. The Trojans shut out Sangamon Valley 44-0. It was Athens just getting by New Berlin 15-14, so Athens now 4-2 on the year. New Berlin drops to 4-2 on the year. And in a matchup of 1-4 teams, Pawnee blasted Pleasant Plains 40-0. In the WIVC South, Carrollton a 42-6 winner over Calhoun. Greenfield Northwestern picked up its fifth win. They're now 4-0 in conference play. They were victorious last night over Winchester 49-14. In the WIVC North, Camp Point Central cruising along at warp speed. They are now 6-0 overall, 4-0 in conference play with a 58-0 win over Jacksonville Rout. And how often do you see a 58-0 win over Jacksonville Rout?
No, wow. That's like we've discussed here with Calhoun. I think Calhoun's only won one game this year.
Yeah.
That's very unusual.
Very unusual. Mendon Unity down Triopia 44-25. Brown County now 5-1 on the year, 3-1 in conference play. Brown County beat Jacksonville ISD 64-6. And in non-conference play, Dupo over Metro East Lutheran 52-6. Metro East Lutheran drops to 1-5. Today, South Central this afternoon, Staunton at Southwestern. Birds still looking for their first win of the year. Staunton goes in 4-1. Tonight in the Prairie State Conference, Nokomis at Marquette. A game you can hear right here on FM 106 is going to be a big Prairie State Conference battle. Both teams 2-0 in conference play. Nokomis 4-1 overall, Marquette 3-2. And in the WIVC South this afternoon, North Green entertains Pleasant Hill. So that will wrap up week number six of the high school football season. So, any surprises up to this point, guys? Other than maybe the parity of the South Central Conference?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like you would envisioned it would be. You would have Greenville and preseason, all the scouting reports on Gillespie was that they were going to be very good. Staunton was strong. And so I think it's kind of playing out about like you would have expected it to.
I would say, obviously, we all expected Greenville to be near the top of the South Central Conference. Outside of that, there have been quite a few surprises for me. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, Vandalia being winless so far. I think Southwestern being winless so far is kind of shocking. Staunton, last season, you know, ended up missing the playoffs after
just needing one win.
Yeah.
Last 2 years. Yeah.
And now they have an opportunity today to finish and get their one win and become postseason eligible.
Keep an eye on Vandalia.
Well, they're going to get somebody.
They are a young team, but.
But they're going to get somebody before the year's out, I suspect. They're going to get a win somewhere along the line.
And scoring hasn't been their issue. It's been giving up the points.
Yeah, their offense has been strong, their defense has been weak.
But the point is, they're a young team. They're just like Payne a couple years ago when they were getting beaten all the time, and then lo and behold, they were a tough team to follow. Vandalia is going to be that team in a couple years.
Speaking of Payne, that's kind of another one. Payne is sitting at 2-4. I didn't expect them to be
One and five now.
Oh, they're 1-5 now.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, I didn't expect that at all.
And they have an opportunity to bite some people. Paina does. And very well could happen, you know.
Well, we're through two-thirds of the football season, and things are shaking out as far as we're knowing. We're able to see now who's likely to make the playoffs and who's in the hunt and how things are going to shake out down the road. By the way, we've got an excellent broadcast schedule for the remainder of the year coming up on the Tally Broadcasting Stations. Check out our website, WSMIRadio.com, for our broadcast schedule. And, of course, we'll stream them on the Internet as well. So if you have loved ones that live outside the area and still want to have a little bit of interest in how things are shaking out, they can certainly tune in next week on the radio. Litchfield will be at Payne. We'll have that game for you right here on FM 106. And then the Hilltoppers travel to Carlinville, take on Cavaliers. We'll have that for you on the Ox 105.3 WAOX. And two more big games in the South Central Conference. The Bulldogs of Staunton will be at Greenville next week. Gillespie at Roxana. Southwestern at Vandalia. So next week in the Prairie State, Nokomis at Metro East Lutheran, Mont Olive at South Fork. That should be an interesting matchup there. Mm-hmm. And then Marquette at Decatur Lutheran. In the Sangamo next week, Sangamon Valley at North Mac, Pawnee at Riverton, New Berlin at Auburn, Williamsville at Athens, and Petersburgport at Pleasant Plains. Key matchup in the WIVC South next week, Greenfield Northwestern is at Carrollton. It'll be a real slugfest in that one. Calhoun and Pleasant Hill, Winchester at North Green, and in the North, Camp Point Central is at Triopia, Brown County, and Jacksonville Route. And next Saturday, Cerro Gordo will be at Bunker Hill. So that's how things shape up for week number 7.
You talked about Mount Olive. They're now just one win away from becoming postseason eligible. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to you last night during the broadcast. I was blanking on the running back's name. It was Blake Bartok.
I thought about that going home. I thought, that's Bartok.
Yeah, yes. When he's healthy, that team is dangerous because Jake Niehaus, you know, it takes a little bit of pressure off of him in the passing game, but Bartok is a great runner. Yeah. And, I mean, when he's healthy, they're a threat offensively.
Good group of athletes at Mount Olive, both boys and girls. So, tell you what, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to some of our high school football coaches, and we traditionally start off with Chad Easterday from Carlinville. We'll do that right after this.
One thing customers tell us they like best about banking with a real community bank is our people. This professional and often personal relationship helps us do our jobs better, more efficiently, and effectively. Not just when it comes to your borrowing money, but also when you need to consider long-term savings and investment needs. So next time you're considering a financial transaction, visit your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, Security National Bank, with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore, and online at securitynb.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing has moved to the Goodyear building behind Denny's in Litchfield. Kurt's has commercial Goodyear tires and complete exhaust, and now is a Hertz car rental agency. And, of course, heavy and light-duty towing. Kurt's crew cab rollback can transport your family and your car. Kurt's 24-hour towing can tow anything from your semi to your motorcycle. When you need a tow, remember 324-2400. Kurt's 24-hour towing in Litchfield. Remember 324-2400.
And at 9:15, let's take a look at the weather forecast, brought to you this time by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Becoming cloudy for today. Showers are likely. We'll have a high of around 80 degrees. Showers likely for tonight with a low of around 50. Heading into tomorrow, sunny skies. Expect a high Sunday of around 60 degrees. At 9:15, we have a temperature reading of 73 degrees, and the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond. It's fall, and with harvest comes the delicious tastes of autumn, like pumpkin pie. And who said your milk can't taste like pumpkin spice, too? It certainly wasn't farmer-owned Prairie Farms, because now available in your grocer's dairy case is pumpkin pie spice milk. Grab a quart when you're on the go for a quick, sweet taste of fall. Prairie Farms pumpkin pie spice milk, now available at your local grocer. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms.
And at 9:16, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Terry Tote, Uncle Ralph, and David Jenkins.
Thanks so much, Tobin Ott. Week number 6 of the high school football season, at least most of it, in the books at this point. And last night in the South Central, a big matchup at Gillespie as the Miners and the Carlinville Cavaliers hooked up. We have Chad Easterday on the phone with us this morning. Chad, good morning, sir, and thanks for joining us here on Sports Saturday. We appreciate it. And tell us a little bit about the ball game last night, your impressions. And we know Gillespie was mighty fine ball club.
Yeah, you know, I think Coach and I talked periodically out the week, and the team that made the less mistakes was going to win. I know we say that a lot, but it truly came down to that last night. I think we just made a few more mental errors. We had a blocked punt and changed the field position a little bit, and you know, that inevitably ended up costing us.
And when you get into a situation in a big game like you had last night, it doesn't take but one perhaps mental error or error to change the complex of the ball game.
Yeah, you know, we had a block punt, and we gave up a 4th-and-22 touchdown right before half. Went over a kid's fingertips. Kiffin Gleason made a great throw and a great catch. And, you know, when you look at a close game and two great ball clubs like that, then it's going to come down to those 2 to 3 plays and who makes them and who doesn't. And we were just on the short end of the stick last night.
Chad, if I remember right, last week when we were talking to you, you made a prediction. You said when you two coaches had breakfast this morning, one of you'd be happy and one of you wouldn't. So I guess that could have played out either way.
Yeah, that could have played out either way. So we had a good cup of coffee, and I cut it short this morning because I got home JFL today. So we had a quick cup of coffee, and you know, we'll be back at it this week, just like they will be. And you know, once again with our bowl club. In terms of senior leadership or in varsity leadership, you know, it was good for us. Now we've been in a close one and won, we've been in a close one and lost. Hopefully we can learn from this and move on down the road.
Not only do you learn from this sort of situation, Chad, as far as contests are concerned, but it's also a situation where you have the opportunity to step in as a coach and a mentor and talk to kids about, you know, regrouping and rededicating, if that perhaps is the right term, and getting things back online.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly correct. You know, we beat a great Staunton ball club and lost to Greenville, and then all of a sudden, you know, pull a close one out last night and just end up a little short. So, you know, you're exactly right. You have to, you know, we don't have mandatory film on Saturdays. The kids come in, and that's kind of their time to watch it and that sort of thing. And, you know, we'll be back at it Monday, and we got Hillsboro, and they had a great win last night. They're going to be 3-3. They'll be well prepared, and that's a great physical matchup for us again. So maybe need to talk to the AD about the schedule or something. I'll tell you what.
Well, we say it every week, but it's a black and blue conference in the South Central, and you're gonna feel it the next day, that's for sure. And we'll have,
you know, that.
We'll have that Hillsborough Carnival broadcast on WAOX next week. That'll be a live broadcast on Friday night. Well, Chad, I know you got a lot of things going on this morning. We appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk with us this morning. But Cavaliers are still in pretty good shape right now. They're 4-2 overall, so it's just a matter of you know, focusing down the stretch here and heading into the postseason. That's what you're aiming for.
You're exactly right. You used the term that I used this morning with the kids is regroup. I mean, the sun came up. We got to regroup, and you know, we got a potential shot at 7-2. That's the goal. I mean, 7-2, and hopefully, if you achieve that goal, you get another 7-2, or possibly a low point value of an 8-1 team. So, it's not unheard of to get a home playoff game. It's getting scarce if we run that table. So, we'll have to wait and see how that goes. But we got to just take care of business next week. So, hey, I forgot, Terry, last week. And I want to give a plug, if you don't mind, this morning. Do you?
No, go right ahead, sir.
There's a woman listening in Raymond that lost a pretty good guy. And I know she's listening this morning. So, I was glad to see her at the game last night, and that's Paul DeWerff. So, God bless him. And, I know my grandma will make it pretty good. So I know he listens to you guys religiously, and she'll be sitting there listening this morning. So I appreciate you guys.
I can only say kudos to that. Yes. Paul was a very good friend of mine and for a lot of years, and a great gentleman and a great family.
Well, Paul was just about a friend to everybody he ever talked
to.
He
touched
everybody. He may give you the devil, but he was a good buddy.
You
are exactly right, Terry. So I don't want to make the conversation long at all. He listened, and he would give as much static and as much praise all in the same sentence as any man can give. So
darn right.
I just wanted to give a quick plug to Grandma this morning. I know she's listening, so I appreciate you guys.
Chad, thanks so much, my friend.
Bye.
Take care. Chad Easter, the head coach of the Carnival Cavaliers, and not to dwell much longer on Paul, but a good friend.
Of course, he was Chad's grandfather.
Yeah, sure.
And what a character he was.
Kind of been kind of a tough week, and emotion wise, and stuff. So.
Yeah, and those things are tough. I lost a good buddy yesterday that I worked with down at the prison. Harry Hoff passed away, and we just kind of grab ourselves by the bootstraps and move on. That's all you can do.
And, Chad pointed out, next week, no time for a breather, with the Cavaliers heading into Hillsborough. And that's year in and year out, that's one of those great matchups that bodies are going to be flying, and it's going to be a terrific matchup.
And even though Hillsborough is just 3-3, they've still got a lot to play for. And so it'll be a good ball game.
On the phone with us right now, the head coach of the Hillsborough Hilltoppers, Aaron Duff. And Duffy comes away. The Hilltoppers came away with a 56-28 win over Vandalia last night, and that keeps the Toppers right in the middle of the playoff hunt, Duffy. And that's got to make you feel pretty good.
Yep, that's what our goal is, try to get those playoffs. We took a lot of care of a lot of things last night. No turnovers. We still got to clean up a few things and work on some special teams.
And you've talked about this most every time we've chatted on the sports program, cleaning up a few things, just improving as the weeks go along. Is that not that you're ever going to play a perfect ball game, but you certainly want to clean up and still improve as the weeks go along, and that's exactly what the Toppers have done.
Yep, we're getting better every week, but like you said, we find things every week that we got to fix.
What worked really well last night for the Toppers?
I'll tell you what, we came out and we scored our first drive, and we recovered two kickoffs in a row and scored immediately, and we were up 21-0 and just got off to a really good start.
And Vandalia, they may be winless, but they're going to get somebody this year. They're not.
Yeah, they're going to play a spoiler.
Yeah, they're going to play a spoiler, I suspect.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, they can score some points. They've got some athletes. I saw that on film coming into this week.
And they're a relatively young team also, so they're only going to get better.
Yeah, I think they start 5 or 6 sophomores, so they are a young team.
What was your reaction when the kickoffs, the two kickoffs fumbled, you guys get it, you score twice, and next thing you know it, 2 minutes into it, you're up 21-0. That's a rarity.
Well, I can tell you what the answer to that is. It's just like he drew it up on the chalkboard, right, Duffy?
Yeah, we drew that up right before we went out.
Don't let the lightning strike you.
We worked on that practice all week.
Yeah. And it worked to perfection, man. Well, it's all about taking advantage of the opportunities you have, and that's what the Toppers did early on.
Yeah, you know, a sudden change like that, you got to take advantage of it, and our guys did a good job and got some points on the board early.
The play, it was like playoff atmosphere at Sawyer Field last night. The crowd was really into it from start to finish.
Really? I usually try not to ignore them.
Okay. Well, you didn't have Donnie in the crowd, but they carried it.
Was he in jail?
Oh, boy.
No comment.
Well, this coming week, you got to get ready for the Cavaliers and Duffy when Carlinville Hillsborough gets together. It's usually a hard-hitting match.
Yeah, I mean, no matter what the records are, it's usually a pretty darn good ball game. They've got some speed to get the edge that we've got to, you know, take care of. And our main focus is going to keep continuing to fix what we see every week. And, you know, we're going to come out and continue to try to get to those playoffs. And this week, Carnival's got to, you know, be our focus.
Yeah. How'd everybody turn out last night? Any injuries or anybody dinged up?
I believe we're okay. We're here watching film this morning, and I think everybody's all right.
All right. Well, Aaron, thank you so much, and good luck to the Hilltoppers as the Toppers now 3-3, right in the middle of the playoff hunt, and good luck down the rest of the way, man.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you,
Aaron Duff, the head coach of the Hillsborough Hilltoppers, and the Toppers and Litchfield, kind of in the middle of the pack there, along with the Staunton and Carlinville, and South Central is a wild and woolly affair. It's kind of like the shootout at the OK Corral, you know?
It's going to be a wild and woolly finish, especially for teams
like... It's going to be an exciting finish.
Well, I think so.
Hillsborough and Litchfield, because they're right there where they can't afford to lose another ball game, and so they're gonna have to play every week to the fullest.
And, Tobin, you mentioned that the crowd was really into it. And this time of year, when you're still in the hunt for a playoff, you know, I think the crowds just kind of feed off of themselves, and the enthusiasm just boils when you get a team that's still in the hunt.
Oh, it was from the time they came out of the tunnel to the time they went back to the locker room at the end of the game. It was gung-ho. I mean, it was.
And they're hosting Carlinville next week.
They're hosting.
So that's going to be...
No, they're at Carlinville.
They're at Carlinville.
Well, then the next home game would be that Litchfield-Hillsborough game, and that's going to be...
No, David, don't add any more dates to my schedule already, all right, buddy?
I'm sorry.
Well, that's one thing Duffy doesn't want them to think about, because Carlinville will be enough.
Yeah.
You talk about the fans, the stadium rock and rolling, wait till Hillsborough and Litchfield get together.
I'm looking forward to that.
That's always, even though... one may be up and one may be down. That's a night when throw everything out, you know, because they play each other tough.
And it will be senior night that night, too.
Yep.
A little added incentive for the Hillsborough
Seniors. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Seniors.
I wonder, does a senior night affect a team like a homecoming would sometimes?
I would think the senior night would be more important to the players, especially in a rivalry like Hillsborough and Litchfield have, especially since last year both teams were kind of down. Hillsborough ended up losing to Litchfield. Hillsborough only finishing the season with one win, Litchfield only having two, and now this year they're both fighting for their playoff lives. So I would think that this year the senior night for Hillsborough would be a lot more important.
And it's something special, I think, for the seniors when at halftime you come out there with your parents and you're introduced. I think that's a kind of a special tribute to the seniors on the ball club, as well as their parents.
Sure.
And
yeah,
it's a great atmosphere for everyone.
Coming up later on today here on WSMI FM 106, we've got Fighting Illini football for you as the Illini open up their Big Ten portion of the schedule. They're playing at Nebraska. We'll have pregame coverage at 10:30 here on FM 106. Then tonight, high school football, a Saturday night special, a Prairie State Conference battle from Public Stadium in Alton as Marquette High entertains Nokomis. And Dave Jenkins and Coach Booker will have the call on that one beginning about 6:45 tonight on FM 106. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Sports Saturday rolls on in just a minute.
BeDry Waterproofing Solutions is a full-service waterproofing company serving the greater St. Louis and Metro East area. BeDry specializes in basement, crawl space, and foundation peering solutions. BeDry has been satisfying customers for over 50 years and provides free initial consults and estimates, as well as excellent service with a lifetime transferable warranty. So if your home is in need of a waterproofing solution, call BeDry at 1-800-966-2379 or go to BeDry.com.
The 2013 Jersey County Apple Festival is Saturday, October 5th. Make sure you stop by and enjoy all the activities. Encouraging you to attend the Jersey County Apple Festival are the Crawford Funeral Home, Sackman Gas Company, Wells Norris Tire and Service Center, Alexander Goopser Funeral Home, and Wagner Seed and Supply, all in Jerseyville, and by Hurley Dodge Autos in Hardin. The 2013 Jersey County Apple Festival, Saturday, October 5th.
WSMI Sports Saturday rolls on while we're talking about high school sports. I might mention that the 2013 Carlinville Fall Cup soccer tournament at Blackburn College is in its second day today. And due to the fact that they're talking about thunderstorms this afternoon, they've kind of moved everything up a little bit earlier. The opening round was yesterday. Winners included Carlinville, Freeburg, Jerseyville, and Greenville. Underway right now, probably just about wrapping up, Pleasant Plains and Lincoln in the consolation bracket, and the Math and Science Academy out of Aurora taking on Effingham St. Anthony, and getting underway in about 30 minutes in the winner's bracket. It'll be Carlinville taking on Freeburg, Jerseyville against Greenville. Then the fifth and seventh place games will be played at 11:30, championship and third place games at 1 o'clock. And that, again, all at Blackburn College. They have the nice fields over there, and they can accommodate the four teams. Plus today, already underway, the Carlinville Invitational Volleyball Tournament. This is one of the nice in-season tournaments in the area. They're using both the high school gym and the middle school gym. And the Red Pool, which is actually playing in the high school gym, Carlinville, Valmeyer, Greenfield, and Edwardsville JVs. And in the Blue Pool, Muscoota, Springfield Lutheran, Greenville, and Carrollton. And they're anticipating the championship matches about 4 o'clock this afternoon. But they'll have round-robin play all day long at both of those venues. So that's some of the other stuff going on around Mid-Illinois. Of course, we're involved in high school football for the most part of what we've been talking about this morning. Although next week is actually the final few days of the high school soccer season, regular season, and postseason play. Actually, some of the preliminary round games, I think, are scheduled for next Friday and Saturday as the postseason rolls in for high school soccer. That means volleyball won't be far behind. That means cross country won't be far behind. That means golf won't be far behind. And, of course, the high school football playoffs as they'll be running, the season runs all the way through the end of October. Let's kind of switch our attention a little bit and talk a little bit about the Major League Baseball playoffs yesterday as the Cardinals did their Pirates imitation.
Yeah.
The Pirates pretty much played just like the Cardinals did in the opening game. The Cardinals returned the favor yesterday, and it was pretty ugly.
Yeah, they played poorly in all three facets of the game.
Yeah.
They just didn't show up defensively, couldn't pitch, and then they weren't hitting Garrett Cole, but you got to give credit where credit is due. I mean, Garrett Cole pitched his heart out, so really important game for the Pirates.
Good pitching always stops good hitting, yeah. And when you don't play good defense, you end up getting hurt really bad. So, by the way, let's hop back to high school football. The Greenville Comets defeated Pena last night, 56-21. We have Coach Todd Hutchison on the line for us. Hutch, good morning, sir.
Morning, guys. How are we doing?
We're doing just terrific, and the Comets continue to roll along. Tell us a little bit about the ball game last night, and Pena, in spite of their record, You just couldn't take them lightly.
Well, you don't take anybody lightly in this conference, especially. And Payne is, you know, obviously a well-coached team and a good team, and at their place a good team, and their homecoming, they're a good team. So, you know, you don't take anybody lightly. You just go play your game, and it was a crazy first quarter. I think there were 6 turnovers, 3 by each team in the first quarter. And we ran one play in the fourth quarter. So, you know, we had the ball 12 minutes and scored 56 points. I thought our defense, aside from maybe the stats you might see, played a really really nice football game, and our special teams did a great job.
So early on when you have the turnovers, Hutch, are you sitting there or standing there kind of scratching your head going, okay, now where did this team come from?
Well, I mean, it's really the way we play sometimes. It's part of the game, and we went up 14-0 and then got their second fumble and had a chance to go up 21-0 and then gave it back to them on a fumble. And then they scored to make a 14-7, got a fumbled kickoff return from us and had a chance to tie the game. So, you know, I think first quarter, it's one of those things. You just try to keep your head above water. You know, it's a four-quarter game, and good things eventually are going to happen. So, but the turnovers, you know, that situation's got to change for us.
Coach, I've seen a lot of different high school football teams struggle in the third quarter. Your team, however, on the other hand, is the complete opposite, in which case that's where you guys thrive, seems to be in the third quarter. What is it about your team that's able to come out of the locker room at halftime and just put it to each team in the third quarter?
Well, that's a great question. It's, you know, it's a good thing to have for us, you know, where we can kind of – we pride ourselves really on being a second-half team and going in and adjusting if we need to, or not adjusting if we don't need to. And really, I think it always comes down to the kids and who you have out on the field. So, you know, I think our kids just believe in what we tell them, and then they go out and just play the game hard for four quarters. So, you know, I think we try to play it even, Steven, in the first half and just kind of punch around on each other, and then in the second half we try to put the game away.
And Hutch, Greenville has traditionally been a team that has been able to make those adjustments in the second half. You guys do a really great job of that, and I like the attitude that you mentioned early on, that it's a four quarter ball game. You know, one quarter does not, you know, make a ball game. So just learning to stay within the system. The Comets are very comfortable doing that.
Certainly, and that, you know, again, that comes straight from our kids. They've got to be the ones that execute that on the field, and it starts, you know, Monday in practice. It continues all out through the rest of the week. But it's really just a mindset thing, I think, that our kids believe in, and they work hard and they condition hard. And, you know, it's just fun to go out and try to play the game right and find ways to win.
Even though the game of football, Hutch, is you say it's a lot of fun, but to be successful, there's got to be a lot of hard work into it also.
Well, no doubt about it, and I don't think people realize, you know, the work that's put in, and that's, we're talking in the summertime. It's just, it's almost got to be done now if you're going to stay up with everyone, and kids that play three sports have to play football or get to play football in the fall and whatever, basketball in the winter and baseball or whatever they may choose in the spring, and then they got to play all three in the summer, and that's tough on a kid, and that's with balancing homework and being a kid and doing all those other things. So it does take a tremendous amount of work, and I'm really proud of our kids for what they do, and it shows up in the results on Friday and Saturdays.
And Hutch, this is one of those life lesson type moments, though. You make the commitment to be on these teams. You make the commitment to get to the summer camps and to do everything that you can do. You know, this is about becoming good citizens once you get beyond high school and college.
Well, and I don't think there's any doubt that's what it's all about when it comes down to it. The wins and losses you may or may not remember, but the things you learn on the field and in the practice field and whatever sport you're playing, you know, we all know that those are the lessons that stick, and that's what athletics is all about. You know, you're going to learn your best lessons out there, trying to get it done in the classroom and be disciplined off the field, and then you get to have the fun playing the game. But you're going to learn all your life lessons like you guys talk about all week or on this show every Saturday. You're going to learn them right there on the field.
And 5 years from now when they come back and talk to you, Coach, they won't be sorry for any time they spent working hard and doing what they did, because they realized then that it was a lot, as you said, a lot of life's lessons were learned during that time.
Well, I agree with you, and they don't realize it now probably, but you know, we're going to be pretty demanding, and I don't, you know, kids want the easy way out sometimes, and we're going to demand them to do things right, but we're going to be positive about it. But you're right, I think the more demanding in a positive way we are with kids, the more they come back and really thank us for what we did. And you know, at the end of the day, it's all about us just wanting the best for our kids and try to teach them the best types of lessons and allow them to go have a successful life.
One word pretty well sums it all up, Coach, and that word would be respect. Respect for the kids, and the kids have to have respect for you.
Well, no doubt about it. It's a two-way street, and without the kids, we don't have a football program, and we're certainly going to fight and scratch and claw for our kids and defend them every chance we have, and they've got to respect the program and the school district, and certainly respect the game of football. So, you know, you said it right on the money there. It's got to be both ways, and I think we certainly have that right now in our program.
Well, Hutch, coming up next week, you've got the Staunton Bulldogs. Not an easy task, but at least you get them at home.
Well, great, you know, great challenge for us, and that's what we certainly love about this conference. It always just helps you so much when it comes playoff time because, you know, every Friday night's a dogfight, and Staunton certainly is a quality program that's well-coached, and we're looking forward to that challenge and certainly happy to be back home.
Todd Hutchison, the head coach of the Greenville Comets. Hutch, always great to talk to you, my friend. Good luck down the rest of the way, and we'll catch up to you later this season.
Thanks, guys. We certainly appreciate all the coverage you give all of our teams.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Todd Hutchison, the head coach of the Greenville Comets, and Comets continue to roll along to nobody's surprise. Yeah. So.
And I would expect that game next week against the Staunton Bulldogs, a very quick game as far as...
Think so?
Well, as far as the... Let me rephrase
that.
The
pace of the game?
The speed of both teams is going to be incredible because obviously Greenville, a lot of athletes. Mm-hmm. Staunton, very quick team. So I don't mean to say the game's going to go by quickly,
but
there's going to be a lot of fast players on the field.
And Coach,
quality athletes.
Yes.
Coach Hutchin preparing his team this week for Staunton has to make sure that they're looking at Staunton and not looking by to Gillespie.
I don't think either team will have a problem of looking ahead and Greenville especially because they've been through this dog and pony show before where you have to take it one week at a time and that's literally how you have to do it.
Right, and Staunton's a quality opponent that Greenville is not going to be able to take lightly and for Gillespie to face Roxana, I mean Roxana didn't score many points last night but for the most part this season they've had no issues scoring points.
Right.
So, I mean, if you come out flat against that offense, they could
burn you.
Yeah.
And the thing about Roxana is they're moving in the right direction. They've been down here on the bottom for so long, and now they're beginning to move, and they're beginning to get a taste of winning and playing better, and that's very contagious.
But to nobody's surprise, it's Greenville, and we'll throw the Miners in there this year. We kind of figured the Miners were going to be good, and you've got some quality football yet to be played in the South Central Conference. So, also last night, the North Mac Panthers stayed in the playoff hunt. The Panthers were a 32-13 winner over the Riverton Hawks. J.D. Lorton, head coach of the Panthers, joining us on the phone. And, Coach, thanks so much for joining us. And it was a terrific win last night over Riverton, a team that you could not take lightly in that conference.
No, you're right. And thanks for having me on this morning. But, Riverton, they got a talented group over there. You know, we were very worried about them, I know this is a kind of a cliche, but you know, we put ourselves behind a hole for the third year in a row, and I guess we just like pressure. But,
one of those been there, done that kind of things, huh?
But we got our kids playing pretty good football right now, and I gotta commend them on that.
And Riverton's the kind of team that they've had such great athletic tradition. And we say it, you can't take them lightly, but this was a scary game for you guys last night.
Well, I mean, they have so much. They got so much talent with skilled positions, you know. And I thought our defense did a really good job of keeping them in front of us and rallying to the football. But that was the difference. We didn't let their speed get in open space. They got us. We had about a 6-minute stretch in the second half. Where we'd get them pinned, third and long, and I think 3 or 4 drives in a row, they were able to stay on the field, and that kind of got us concerned. But, we ended up making plays to give our offense a chance. But there was a stretch there in the second half where, they started getting the ball to those kids in space, and, we had a few issues getting off the field, but for the most part, we did a really good job defensively.
And then you made the adjustments at halftime.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of homecoming. there's a lot of distractions. And,
do you know any coaches that are?
Well, none that I hang out with.
and we bring that topic up, JD, but, unless you have a child, a son that's playing football, the families – maybe don't understand that the people that listen to ball games and go to games, they don't understand the distraction side of homecoming.
Oh,
I mean, it's just, there's just so many activities going on during the week. It's really crazy.
Yeah, it's like last week we went to Athens. That was, you know, that was their homecoming, and you know, we stressed that to our kids. You know, hey, you know, we're, I'm not gonna say they're gonna overlook us, but I don't think Coach Knox would ever have a team overlook anybody. But you know, they looked a little bit flat, you know, and we were able to get on them, and that's why we reiterated that to our kids all week long. You know, you have to be focused, pay attention in detail, and be ready to play. And I commend our seniors because, they kept the ship together, and our kids were ready to play football last night.
So now the Panthers are 3-3, and as you mentioned, you're in the situation that you've been in before. No panic for the Panthers as they head down the stretch here. We're 2/3 of the way through the season. Panthers really in pretty good shape right now, heading into the final third of the season, I would think.
Well, we got some good football teams to play yet, but I'd much rather be in the situation where you're getting better and you're learning from it than being stagnant. And I will say, you know, our kids have got better each week, and we're still learning, and they're coming out and, you know, working hard and practice and, you know, paying attention to what we're trying to do, and they're really preparing for people. So, you know, I like our chances. We're going to be all right, I think.
J.D. Lorton, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers. Coach, good luck down the rest of the way, and thanks for joining us on Sports Saturday this morning. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for the coverage. You guys have a great day.
Thanks, J.D. At North Mac Panther squad, you know, second half of the season.
Yeah.
Man, they put it together, and I think they're going to make the playoffs.
Well, experience is going to help them.
Yeah, they're going to do all right. We need to get to a break. Sports Saturday rolls on in just a moment.
If you have a sports-related injury, give Teamwork Rehab a call. Teamwork Rehab's athletic trainers are licensed, certified, and there for you. Teamwork Rehab provides athletic training services for Hillsboro and Nokomis student athletes, keeping them safe, healthy, and in the game. They are also offering injury screening for all area athletes and weekend warriors. Teamwork Rehab has 3 convenient locations in Litchfield, Hillsboro, and Nokomis. Give us a call at 532-4160. Trust Teamwork Rehab, a division of Hillsboro Area Hospital, to get you back in the game.
Since 1899, 4 generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
And at 9:47, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Becoming cloudy for today. There's showers likely. We'll have a high of around 80 degrees. Showers likely for tonight with a low of around 50. Heading into tomorrow, sunny skies once again. Expect a high Sunday of around 60 degrees. Extended look at the forecast. Monday through Wednesday, mostly clear skies. Expect highs in the upper 60s. The lows will be in the low 50s. At 9:47, we have a temperature reading of 74 degrees, and the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues in just a moment.
One thing customers tell us they like best about banking with Real Community Bank is our people. This professional and often personal relationship helps us do our jobs better, more efficiently, and effectively. Not just when it comes to your borrowing money, but also when you need to consider long-term savings and investment needs. So next time you're considering a financial transaction, visit your hometown bank you can trust since 1932. Security National Bank, with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. And online at Security NB.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And at 9:48, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Terry Tote, Uncle Ralph, and David Jenkins.
Tobinot, thank you very much, my friend. And on the telephone with us right now, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, Pat Ranson. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, guys.
Congratulations on the win last night, and the Purple Panthers back to the 500 mark. That's a big thing for you guys.
Yeah, it feels good. It was nice to come out and put together a solid effort on both sides of the ball and play more of a complete game, start to finish. And we're, boys are, as you can imagine, are pretty excited here to enter this last stretch here of 3 games.
Coach, obviously you guys had high expectations for the season, but did you ever expect to be 3-3 and really have the playoffs in sight this late in the season?
Well, you know, we, you know, everybody checks out the preseason coaches' poll and all that, and you know, we had some work to do to come out and kind of show people that we were capable of playing at a high level, and so, you know, that's kind of a, I'll dance around that question. It was a, you know, there was, to some degree, there was a, hey, you know what, we can't be pretending that we're a playoff team when we haven't really shown it yet. So let's go to work, and we know what we're capable of. So now it's a matter of just doing it on the field. So I'll tell you what, it's not a shock to the boys and to the coaches, because we knew that it was there. So it's a good feeling that we're having fun and we're competing, and like you said, we're ready for that playoff hunt.
What a great combination of the run and the pass last night for the Panthers.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, you know, for the games where we have really been clicking, it's when, just like you said, when the run game is there, because really then that forces the team to kind of stack the box a little bit, and if you stack the box on our offense, that passing game kind of lights on fire too. So that, yeah, the offense is doing well.
And Coach, we spent a lot of time this season talking to you about whether it was Ryan Howard going down or the play of Alex Hull, but really, you know, Connor Simmons and Colton Steele and Cole Grossenheide are running the ball. They've been doing a fantastic job all season.
Yeah, absolutely. Simmons does not run the ball like a sophomore. You know, we're very, very happy with the job he's doing. He's just running hard with a forward lean, and we've had so many different combinations of linemen up front, kind of rotating some guys around different positions, and got some really good senior leadership there. You know, there's Law, Blankenship, Chaney, Garrison, Brown, you know, all these guys getting in there, and of course our tight ends, Kinderney and Newkirk, have been doing a great job, and man, they just create some hold for Simmons, and when he gets that steam moving forward, you know, he's a hard guy to bring down.
Coach, what were you most concerned about playing Roxana last night?
Well, you know, I think after last week, you see that they jumped up on Greenville 21-0, and you know they've really been competing, just like we feel like we've been doing week in and week out, and so you know we really told these guys we got to be ready to execute. The week before, we kind of had a slow start against Vandalia, and so we were really preaching these guys, hey, this is not a team that you want to let jump up on you, you know, and we really got to start fast, and it that plan seemed to work. The boys really responded to that, and you know, defensively, I think we made a lot of strides last night, not taking plays off and really playing an aggressive defense, and that was exciting.
Yeah, you did, because Terry and I were talking off the air a couple times. We thought going into the game it was going to be a pretty high-scoring game because, like you said, Roxana had been putting up points essentially all year, and you guys had been doing the same. So I was expecting maybe a 30-point, 30-point
Dave was expecting
tie.
60 points at the end of the first quarter, Coach. That's what he was expecting. Yeah.
Well, I didn't expect it to be scoreless at the end of the first quarter like it was.
No, not at all. And you know, As a defensive coach, I was actually, you know, I was having some fun last night. See that new leg up there. And you know what? That was really kind of a focus this week, was from the defensive side of the ball, was we got to get back to the high energy, swarming to the ball, wrapping and driving, not just trying to drag guys down. And we spent a lot of time just kind of not really, I wouldn't say going back to the basics, but focusing on, you know, what is it that makes our defense successful, and man, that really transferred over to Friday night.
And of course, if you don't do the basics well, you're not going to be successful. So it's a cliche thing, but if you work on the basics every week, you're going to be familiar with them, you're going to do your job, and you're probably going to be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to constantly reminding yourself, what, you know, what are we trying to do here on defense? You know what, you know, we generally run a 3-3 staff, and so we're kind of a spread defense, but so we have to form. There's no doubt about it, and if you're not constantly reaffirming or reassuring that principle of your defense, then that's when you start to see it get a little relaxed. And but yeah, it was fun. Had some big sacks, some interceptions. It defense was flying high.
Well, obviously you being a defensive coach have to be excited about the about the outcome of the game. But however, were you a little disappointed that you weren't able to keep the shutout intact?
Yeah, you know, there's a party that wants to see that zero up on the board, but you just realize there's more important things. And you know, we were able to. There's been so many games this year. We want to get to a point where we can really start getting some subs in, get some underclassmen in there, get some guys who maybe defense is their second or third position, and we were able to do that. So we come out of the game healthy, get some guys some good reps on a Friday night. So there was maybe a tad bit of disappointment, but it was just a fun night to get more guys in and more reps, and people are still fresh, and so we leave, you know, after coming off the field last night, and we feel like we're healthy moving forward, which is really big heading into this time of the year.
And you've got the Pena Panthers next week at Pena. Not an easy task.
No, especially not at Pena. They play good football, and man, that place, they get excited, and their student section is fun, and you know, I always remember playing there, and the pep band is there. You know, it's a great environment for Friday night football, so we're looking forward to that challenge.
Pat, do you oftentimes relate to your ball club about how it was when you played and the things that you recollect, and can they use that? Do they use that sort of information?
Yeah, they do. You got to be kind of careful. You don't want to use that too much. But I'll tell you, I think some of the things that might work a little better. You know, when I played, we had a lot of success, and so unfortunately, it kind of a lot of times turns into, well, if you could do it like we did, you know, and I think that message gets old. But I think there's times that where it's really something. It's like, hey, say, you know, when I was there, we went 8-1, and we did this, but you know what? We didn't do this nearly as well as you guys are doing. You
yeah,
know, reassure
yeah.
them, hey, we're on the right path. You're fighting hard. You're doing this. And that kind of builds their confidence. Wow, you know, we're doing this. We try to throw that out there some, but you don't want to burn that bridge or just drive it too far into the ground.
Right, right. Well, the excitement continues for the Purple Panthers as they are now at the 3-3 mark, and we'll have that Litchfield Painter broadcast next Friday night on FM 106. Pat, thanks so much. Continued success, my friend.
Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
Okay.
You too.
Pat Rentz, the head coach of the Purple Panthers, who are definitely in the playoff hunt. So. Coming up, as we're running short on time, coming up here today in high school football this afternoon, Staunton is at Southwestern. The Bulldogs are 4-1. Southwestern still looking for their first win of the year. And the WIVC South Pleasant Hills at North Green. Then a Prairie State Conference matchup tonight. Marquette hosts Nokomis. Both teams 2-0 in the Prairie State Conference. So a big, big conference game. A game you can hear tonight beginning at 6:45 on WSMI FM 106. A little bit later on this morning, we'll have Fighting Illini football for you. The Illini play at Nebraska, and that begins at 10:30 with the pregame here on WSMI FM 106.
And that will be an interesting game for Illinois to see where we're really headed here.
Well, Dave, you mentioned last night on the broadcast, we were just kind of shooting the breeze a little bit, and the Illini are getting close to being bowl eligible.
Yeah, they're three wins away.
How could this be?
Yeah.
And I was one of the just bashed them going, gosh, they're going to be awful this year.
Well, I think everybody was.
Did you want to sniff his water to see what he was drinking?
Well, what kind of Kool-Aid was that,
But it'll be a big game for the Illini. You know, they've got off to a start here that I don't think anybody expected, although the opponents, quote-unquote, haven't been too fantastic. But today will be a big day for them.
You know, when you're trying to reestablish a program, you're going to have games like that. And, you know, here's a chance for the Illini to get into Nebraska, which has traditionally been a pretty good football school. And let's see what the Illini can do.
And they did hang with a pretty good Washington Huskies team. And Nebraska today is using their backup quarterback as their starting quarterback. Taylor Martinez is injured.
And Washington's not a slouch team. No. Let's face it. They're a very, very good football team.
And Nebraska's down a little. They're not the Nebraska that has been in the past. But it'll be a good challenge for
today Illinois. Today will be where we see the Illini really are as they begin Big Ten play.
Yeah. I think they've done everything they can do up to this point to get them ready for the conference, and now it's up to the Illini to respond at this point.
It's up to the players. They're the ones got to get on the field and do it.
Yeah, it's time now for them. So 10:30 this morning on FM 106, and then high school football tonight. Nokomis at Marquette. Dave Jenkins, Gary Boker will have the call for you on WSMI FM 106. We will also stream that game online at WSMIRadio.com. And our Pizza Man pregame show next Friday night begins at 6:30 as we will have Litchfield at Pano on WSMI FM 106, Hillsborough, Carlinville on WAOX 105.3 The Oxen. We are out of time. Gentlemen, Uncle Ralph, thank you, sir. Always a pleasure.
See you next time.
Dave Jenkins, Tobinot, thank you, sir, for your...